Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com. A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare tri-term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare tri-term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Mouse Jones.
I'm Nat Wilds.
I'm Flora.
And we are...
Welcome back. Happy Monday and all that other good jazz. Hope you enjoyed your Easter Sunday with your family. It's a different Easter Sunday than it was last year. You know, I see a lot of y'all was together enjoying the verses. Because this time last year, niggas was on Easter Sunday looking just like this.
That's a little fact.
Eating takeout.
I forgot all about Easter yesterday. Someone was like, yo. I was like, yo, when was Easter? I was like, when's Easter? It was like, last week. I said,
okay. I definitely forgot about Easter last year.
You was just skipping days.
Definitely forgot about Easter last year. I was like, yeah. As a matter of fact, Easter last year, I was doing fucking interviews for Quarantine Nightly. Matter of fact, that's what the fuck I was doing on Easter. So I know.
I was asleep. I was on the beach sleep. On the beach sleep. That was me.
I just want to be like you when I grow up, Ryan. That's all.
You really don't.
Well, you got time. You'll be out.
I don't. I'm screwed.
Nah, you're good.
But yeah, shout out to all our listeners. We appreciate y'all. Make sure you're following the podcast on all social media platforms at Guys Next Door Pod. Hey, guys, make sure you subscribe, comment, and rate. If you're listening on Apple, make sure you leave us a nice little 5-star rating. Why? Because we're children and need validation. Leave a comment. Let us know how you feel about us. Remember, if you got a letter you want read on air, send it to guysnextdoor123@gmail.com. That's guysnextdoor123@gmail.com. And make sure you head your funky asses over to the Patreon, because I know you niggas got your stimmies. I seen it. You niggas did the money up the arm. I know you niggas got it. So give it up. Head over to the Patreon, patreon.com/guysnextdoorpod. And make sure you subscribe to us on YouTube, Guys Next Door Podcast. Ryan, are you ready, Ryan? 32 is on the horizon. When we did this podcast, we were turning 30. 32. Are you ready?
I mean, 31 ain't really count. So I guess this is like...
I feel like we've been like a time freeze.
I feel like I'm still 30. I'm about to be 31. So,
so with everyone on a leap year?
Yeah, why not? Okay. It's up to you. I mean,
yeah,
I don't
I'm gonna
like
say 31 again.
I won't say there's gonna be a big difference, like, but it's just gonna make me work harder, I guess. I'm getting closer to the end of my life, I guess. So I gotta work harder.
Yeah, morbid.
I mean, if you really think about it, you're 1 year closer to whatever. So I wanna work harder. Like, we're getting older. We're not getting younger. Like, it's not serum to put us back.
You're getting older.
I'm just saying. It's just going to make me go harder. And that's how I think about it. Whatever you say. However you feel.
I'm getting younger and more childish.
You're looking older.
Some people are mad that their beard doesn't do what mine does. But it's fine.
I don't need that.
Yeah, I hear you, bud. Hear you, bud.
You got one haircut. You have one left. Ooh. Choose it wisely. You cut them things off.
And my head gonna be
Murder She Wrote.
Girl, are we talking about Mr. Lynch? Are we? You know what? Almost.
One haircut. It is the famous Ball Jackson.
Listen, I could go from this to the Dark Caesar with the waves and highly upset.
Nah, you bugging. First of all, you got Indian in your family. That's right. That's you do. Yes, you do. You can't tell me different.
You got Indian in your family?
I actually do. Like, not even trying to be funny.
Blackfoot, Cherokee, Liberty.
No, fuck you.
You can say Jeep Liberty. Niggas called you Jeep. You from the tribe Jeep. From the sister tribe Navajo.
Navajo want a date.
Wow. No, one of my great-great-grandmother was 100% Native American.
You ain't getting no scallies.
Who's that, your mom's?
Dad's.
You ain't getting no scallies for that?
We can't. We don't have the paperwork to prove it.
So you're lying.
We have photos of her. We literally have photos of her and stuff. And like we have one aunt who's like the family historian. And like,
I got photos of my grandfather in a dashiki, but I know he's from Brooklyn.
I don't even know what the fuck that means.
That means just because she had the feather on her head, don't mean she was 100%.
I'm not playing this game with y'all. All right, Sunday, I don't even like High Ryan anymore.
I'm choosing violence on this Sunday.
Sick. Well, we do have a special guest later on, so we'll get to that in a little bit. But I do want to. I've been watching things and just thinking, I was thinking, have we ever really like dove into double standards and like how they represent themselves in our lives and society and what they mean to us?
Before you start. Shay, turn your mic down a little bit because I know you're about to go crazy. Just turn it down just a tiny bit. It's a little loud.
Let me turn it down. Oh, you know what? Let me send it in the chat because I don't want to get
bombed. I can't control it. It's a problem.
Oh, man.
This isn't Zoom, so I can't control my mic level.
Sheesh. Just don't yell.
I'm a try and keep myself.
Please, because I don't have the time on this Easter Sunday. I have no time.
You already chose violence on Easter Sunday.
You was choosing violence on it?
It was violence, but it was like misdemeanor crimes. Petty shit. Petty
y'all see
shit.
It? Y'all see
yes.
the chat?
Yes.
Oh, yes. You told me.
This nigga's crazy. I tell you the facts and you want to bring it in. That's like when a nigga tell a joke and nobody hear it, and then his man say the joke and everybody hear it.
I laughed. No, son, because I forgot about it and I just remembered it and was like, it was terrible. All right. So, yes, we want to get into this thing about double standards. First and foremost, Ryan, to you, what is a double standard?
I mean, it's going to sound like a double standard answer if I can be the answer. Like, I mean, it really depends on what we're talking about. Like, absolutely. But for me, a double standard, for the people in the world, if you don't know what a double standard is, it means if you have something in the middle, let me just break it down in like just a regular way for everything. You have something in the middle and one person can do it and another person can't. In a simple way. You get what I'm saying? It's just simple. It's one thing that everybody can do, but if you do it, it's right, and if they do it, it's wrong. So, in a nutshell, so when it comes to different circumstances, different situations, I mean, there are double standards, and do I like them? Some. Do I not? Some. But it is what it is.
I can admit that there are some gender roles and double standards that I thoroughly enjoy.
Exactly. You know,
there's certain ones that so I'm not willing to let go of.
In this whole conversation, there's going to be some that are like, how could you think that way? But then there's going to be some that I'm looking at you like, what? What the hell? So it's like, and there's a double standard to double standards.
Absolutely. Che, what are some gender roles or double standards that you abide by?
I have always had younger brothers or some sort of male figure in the house. So I do not believe in having to take out my own trash, okay?
That's good, yeah.
No. So I side-eye men, like, say my apartment, whatever. This sounds fucked up because I distinctly remember this person, but I can't remember their name. There used to be someone who I messed with who would come over, and before he left every time, he'd take my trash out for me. Have no idea who it was. Can't figure out who it was. But I remember them doing it.
You remember it.
Niggas want to be me, just say that.
Yo, nigga, she remembers the action, but not the person. So he obviously wasn't doing something. So
what
that
they,
goes,
no, what they always say. Before. They say people.
The niggas who wasn't taking out the trash were still, memories.
People remember how you made them feel.
I ain't feel nothing, but I did commend that one action from him.
I got the little man's.
I don't recall.
No, okay, this person.
Y'all definitely had sex.
I don't remember who.
How many times did this trash?
If a woman tell me she don't remember having sex with a nigga, she has sex with you.
She has sex with him. You just try to delete it.
I just remembered who it was. Okay, no, I remember who it was. Very remember.
Yes,
we talked about him on here.
Yes, you had sex. Absolutely.
And absolutely.
Yeah, we know.
It was fire. It was fire.
Here we go.
Philly. It was fire?
No, it was Philly. Philly.
Oh, Mr. Make Che a side chick.
No.
Lord.
Wrong person.
Wasn't Philly?
Fire. That's
not Philly.
Fire.
Not Philly.
I don't remember Philly then.
Violence. I get it. Okay. So he took the trash out. You don't believe you need to take the trash out because you're
wrong, man.
Because before we even get deep into the topic, it's just certain things I always question. So if you believe or abide by one double standard, can you challenge other double standards or challenge double standards as a whole?
Yes, because we live in the country and the earth where we pick and choose what the fuck we fight for. So, yes.
So isn't that a double standard in itself?
Absolutely.
And this is what we have to deal with. The men, this is what we have to deal with. Because this women out here saying, double standards suck, except for when we have to pay the bill, except for when we have to do manual labor.
And that's what I'm saying. There's certain things that they love to not do, but then there's stuff that they don't want to do on the other side. Yep. That's far.
Ooh, another double standard I enjoy, and I blame.
I got one that trumps all that shit. So
absolutely, cool. Mouse, you've done it to me. You have physically hemmed me up because I accidentally walk on the outside of the sidewalk.
Oh yeah, yeah.
We all do that.
That's different. That's different because you guys were born and raised in New York. Do you know men in the South don't do that? Well, the men that I've come across.
Because
a lot of men who don't mad
grass, that's why. Yeah, I'm fucking skipping through
that's
grass
weird.
And shit.
That's
but yes, you have absolutely hemmed me up.
I would think men in the South definitely do that.
But how much do y'all walk? Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Exactly, you don't really walk.
Like, I guess from the car to... Do men open your door?
Mouse, you are probably... one of two men that I can think of off the top of my head who have. Well, no, when I say Mouse, I mean like
no, so say the name.
A husband, huh? Okay. So
you can't just say Mouse, I'm right here.
Mac Ryan.
Yo, she really tried to violate. Like she's looking
I did
at
not.
Both of us.
Ryan will not let me have him. When Ryan said, I am a podcaster now, like 6 months ago. Different, bro. Like, no, if you don't let me have a conversation, moment or nothing,
if this conversation was with us three, cool, let it go. But this is with us thousands of people
fine,
here. They gotta
fine.
Understand that I open doors. I make sure
you
my
do.
Ladies on the right side of the shit. I do.
Mouse,
all
Mouse can't have a moment for nothing. God damn, bro.
Together, yes.
So the three of y'all, the three of y'all are the only guys I've come across who actually do the open your door thing and be fighting me on it because I'm so used to opening my own door. I've had Mouse like slam the door back and open it back.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Let me open this shit for you.
Yeah, I'm like, what's wrong with y'all? Like, and I, my homeboy, shout out to Moneymaker Neek, my homeboy from Atlanta. Yeah, posted that and kind of and it went viral on Twitter. He was like, yeah, you know, it's just, and I was like, it's weird that you even got to say that. Like,
yep.
Like, you gotta, like, how, I don't know, that shit very weird to me, how you just don't open a woman's door or don't pull out her chair or don't
walk on the outside of the street. Because I've been on some dates where now, and now it's like, it's, I don't know. So I've been on a date where it's like, you open a door, I open a door for every woman, date or not. So mm-hmm. to a car door, I open a door. A girl told me, she's supposed to sit in, stay on that side. She's not supposed to slide over.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So if you're in the back seat,
mm-hmm.
well, it's for both, actually. So we'll start in the back seat. If you're in the back seat, I open it up for the back seat, boom. And okay. I close the door. And you know how, like, normally somebody slides
over? Like, if you're on Uber or something?
Yeah, you're supposed to close that door and go around
the other side. You go on the other side. Yeah, you're supposed to. But, we also live in New York City where... You can't go down that side. It's oncoming traffic. Yeah, so facts. You got to kind of slide across.
So, but that's for us. Like, I bet, and maybe in the South it's different. Maybe they just automatically do that. I don't know. For me, because mm-hmm. in New York, it was like, it's an adjustment because some people move straight over. And I've only had like one or two that just stayed right there. Maybe just that one. Like, and I'm just, so it's like, I don't know. Then the other one is the front seat. When you open the door for them in the front seat and they sit down and you close the door, when you walk around, she's supposed to open the door for you.
She's supposed to.
That shit has only happened one person. And it might be the same person that told me not to move over and go around. It never happens. Like, it
never happened.
Never happened. Only like one time where she reached over and then opened the door for me. And I'm like, yo, that's fire. And every time now I open the door for a woman, I'm not going to lie though. Every time I open the door for a woman and I close it and I get in the front seat to go drive, I look to see if they're going to do it, and they never do it. And I'm just like, damn.
I mean, I just learned something new. I've never heard of the whole, the woman reaches over and opens the door. And
yeah, they told us that in the Bronx there. If she's one, she'll reach over the door.
Uh-huh. And feel like it's for the, I feel like that's for the back seat and the front seat.
Mm. I can see that. I
thought about it that way. Like, my kids will sit in the car and won't be out. Like, they won't. They'll just sit there. And, like, I've seen it, like, baffle my little cousin. I'm like, you should go open her door. Like, that's what they're waiting for.
But it's also it's also security. It's also like, yo, the elder or the man, whoever's out the car, they make sure everything's right. And when they open the door, I know when to come outside. I know everything's safe. No cars is coming. We at the right spot. Everything's good. And that's how I look at it.
That's how I look at it. I'm going to protect our true accountability over the women in my circumference in my space. So. If y'all with me, y'all with me. So I'm checking. Okay. So obviously, you know, it does go into the interaction between men and women. They are them. Damn it. I wish we had a non-binary person here. Because I would then want to ask, like, what are... Ah, man, that would be a good... Because... Like with people who identify as non-binary, they are them, they are they.
Mm-hmm.
There's no gender assignment. So then in that instance, is there a double standard? Who opens the door? Who picks up the check? Who does? I also ask that in same-sex couples, like who pays? Who is the door opener? And then that got me to thinking, like, is masculinity and femininity tied up into these like roles? Because then when you take those, or not when you take them away, when you even a playing field, you put two men in front of each other, then what is masculinity? What is femininity? You put two women in front of each other, what is femininity? What isn't femininity, right? Like, it's that weird, my apologies, it's not a weird, it's that space, it's that unfamiliar space where I only knew I was a man because I'm supposed to do this. Mm-hmm. I only knew I was a woman because I'm supposed to do this. That's a weird conundrum. What do y'all think?
That's tricky.
I mean, it's very tricky, but also gender roles is a social construct. Because if you look at history, there's been non-binary, there's been gay people, there's been trans people since the beginning of fucking time. So So this whole idea that you, because you're born with a penis and you have to act a certain way, that's all a social construct. That's not how it always was. These people were once celebrated amongst other cultures and religions and stuff. I think it's, I could be extremely wrong, like Hawaiian culture, there's a whole celebration that was when we took over their island, they were told not to do these traditional dances and stuff that celebrated the non-binary and trans people, like literally trying to erase those people out of the culture because it just wasn't what the new world order was used to, basically. So it's like, I think it's something that a lot of people struggle with, but like, if you look at it from that lens, like these people have been here since the beginning of fucking time. So why does it matter? Just let them live.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I feel like gender roles are all fucked up in general. So it's not mm-hmm. even, we're not judging anybody in general, but for people to judge people on who should be what and what should be what is like, mm-hmm. we don't even have our shit together. Like, our households ain't even right. And we in same sex shit. So it's like that whole masculinity stuff is like, I guess it's just an option and an opinion. And who's to say one has to be this and one has to be that?
Yeah.
It might just be an easier ass life. Keep it a buck.
Right. So how do we, if that's the case,
how do we get to that?
Are you ready to give up masculine presenting gender roles?
What roles? What are we?
About the ones that you live by. Are you ready to give those up?
I mean, the ones that I live I'm not. By. I mean, but what are the ones that you live by that you're like? Yeah. Give me an example.
Give us examples.
Like the man is supposed to be the provider. The man is supposed to be the protector. The man is supposed to. The man is supposed to, what's the word I'm looking for? I said provide, right? So provide means a lot of things, right? Provide
I totally understand it now. I mean, I get where you're coming from, but I also think,
like, I can't sit there and let a woman open the door for me.
Yeah, but those certain things I'm never gonna stop doing, and I don't feel like that.
I let white women open the door for me, and I kind of scoff when I walk by.
My thing is like,
as you should, Karen.
The shit that I am gonna always do is open the door, make sure I'm on the right side of the street. You know, all those things are never gonna go, and I don't feel like my partner's ever gonna be like, don't do that. See what I'm saying? So when it comes to those type of things, I'm like, that's automatic. It's like in my relationship, my woman's always gonna like those things because those things make her comfortable and they make her feel at
peace. But do you think you would ever be in a space or be so progressive where you could flip?
No, I don't. Those are the things that I don't want to flip. And I don't think my partner is going to want to flip them. No, that's not my mind.
So that's what I'm saying.
Girl was like, yo, Rod, let me hold the door. That's how she would sound. That's her voice to me.
The question I asked. That's literally the question I asked. Would you
And I said, there's certain things. And those are just not the ones. Because I feel like if my shorty is, when I open the door for him, she's like, oh, thank you, baby. When she opens the door for me, it's like, yeah, what up, Rob? Like, no, we're not doing that. We are not going there. Yeah, like, yo, good game, baby. Get through that door. Like, nah, I'm going to hold the doors.
Yo, you know how when we hold the door for our girl, like, when she walk by, you might, like, just cuff her butt.
Yo, story. Small, we'll get back to that to talk about. I was at a day party and I'm hanging over the balcony at our table, like looking, whatever. And mind you, I'm around all niggas. Like there's niggas all around me to my left and to my right. Like we just looking around, like, and somebody come
the wolf.
Looking around, like, oh, I'm saying what up, whatever. Met I had a shot, whatever it was. Somebody grabs my ass, like fully grabs like my left cheek. Without even turning around, my hand flew back like this so fast, like the Matrix. Grabbed the hand like, yo, what the? And I looked, and it was my homegirl. And I was like, woo. So like 5 minutes later, nigga called me over like, yo, come here, bro. I'm like, he's like, yo,
you the realest nigga, boy. I seen everything happen. I seen her come behind you. I seen you see mad niggas around you. She went to grab you, and you grabbed her hand so hard like a real nigga would, like a real nigga should. I just had to say, I peeped that, and you ain't got it. And nothing ever gonna cross my mind, brother. Like, I'm like, yo, I'm not playing. Like, what? That's how I would feel.
I think, like, I want to have the conversation at some point, probably not today. I do want to have a conversation about some point. When did we bury masculinity in a butt? Like, I just want to know. I want to have that conversation. Because I would do the same thing. It would be on, Matt, that double story time. You remember me and you went to 333 that night? Mm-hmm. You remember when we walked in, we saying, what up to everybody? So as I'm saying what up to somebody, I think we seen Nate and we seen Duke. Shout out to Nate and Duke. I say what up to Nate, I say what up to Duke. When I dap Duke, I dap Nate first. So when I dap Duke, my butt get grabbed. So immediately I'm thinking Nate playing. I turn around, I snuff Nate. Ask Nate. Like, he was talking. Remember, he said, yo, why you hit me?
That ass.
He was so mad at me. He was like, you hit me mad hard. Why you hit me? I'm like, nigga, why you grab my butt? He was like, nigga, I ain't touching.
Who was it?
It was on my girl, Bria. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? You can't do that. But the niggas that you do it to, that's just cool with it. That's their prerogative, but that's not me. So a girl opening up a door for me, I feel like she, in her mind, she has the right to grab my cheeks on the walkthrough. And we not having that.
Shay, we not having that way. If you open the door for a nigga you on a date with or your nigga, you gonna cop his butt because you open the door for him.
Not in public. I might play like that in the house. I'll play like that, but not in public. Because I know how men get with that type of shit.
Then she has all the space to say some smart ass comment, like,
and you know I will.
Yeah, you know, bring that little butt. You know that ass coming in here tonight. Like, what? Like, what are you? What are you talking about?
What if she opened the door, cup your butt, and be like,
We gonna rewind.
Okay, so different.
I'm back up, and we'll let her walk out the door. Like, don't ever meet ever again.
Yeah, I can see Ryan literally walking backwards out the door
in disgust. Like, stop. Cause it's like if a nigga, women be like, yo, if a guy don't pay for the, they say any day, but especially like if a guy to pay for the first date, it's like I'm the nigga. Like I've heard that so many times, so it's like, nah, we not doing this.
So different double standard. You know how men are typically supposed to be like the handy ones or like the Mr. Fix It.
Not me.
Okay, so you admit to that? That's just not your.
Yeah, but back in the day, niggas would have to fix shit because they couldn't afford somebody else to fix it. I can afford somebody to pay for it. Now it's a different story if I don't got no money to pay for it and I'm not willing to fix it. Those are two different things.
So my question being, because I always tend to be slightly handier than the men I deal with, but that's because I'm a very mechanical person. So I like breaking things apart, putting them back together, and that's just how I work. So would that bother you if, like, say we move into the new spot, we got to assemble all this damn furniture. And I literally tell you, you go sit over there, I can do it by myself. Like, I just completely commandeer assembling the entire, because I already know that you're going to end up fucking something up. So I'd rather you not touch it. Just let me work. Let me do what I do.
Go ahead, Ryan. I'm sorry.
I'll say this. If I know that's your passion and that's your thing, and it'll get you upset if I call somebody to get, do this shit for us,
I'm mad at shit.
Then I will definitely help you in ways that you want me to help you, because you know it's just not my thing. It's not what I'm doing. And I'm pretty sure there's something else I could be doing in this moving process, like moving shit. But I don't feel like it's a problem if that's what you want to do. Like I said, I can help you do it if that's what you want this to be, a group activity. That's the only thing it is. It's like, if your girl wants you to do some shit like that, like, yo, babe, let's break down this table together. It's a group activity. She just wants to spend some time with you. Because if you got other shit to do and I'm like, yo, babe, I'm going to call these people and they're going to get all this shit done. And you got other shit to do, you like, I bet. Let it be done. So,
okay.
I'll definitely pay for somebody to do it. If not pay for somebody to do it, I'll definitely help you do it. But so, I'll be real with you. I'm not gonna be the first nigga to jump out the gym and take down some table. Like, nah, I'm good. I can afford
it. Listen, when it comes to I'm not handy in I know how to do all the facts. Handy shit.
Don't get a shit.
I hate it.
Yep.
But I could change a tire, but I would never. I've changed AAA. Two tires my whole life, and I refuse to ever do it again. I'm not doing it. And if, at any given time, my garments is too expensive. I'm not getting my hands dirty. I don't care how it sounds. Suck my dick. I'm not doing it. But if my woman is like, babe, why are we calling AAA? I could do it. Get yours in a call.
Yeah, see, when it comes to a tire or something in the road, it's like, yo, get out of here. Like, sit your fucking door to explore a handy dandy notebook. Get your Bob to build the ass in the car and wait for AAA to come, because we not doing this. And stop bringing your father into this. Stop bringing your father. Yeah, stop bringing him into this. My father said, so what?
Father, this ain't that.
If father wake up to to bourbon.
Your father wake up to bourbon and pork. He's a different life.
Get out of here, bro.
But when it comes to like in a house stuff, I typically want to build everything. I ain't gonna hold you. I'm not the best hanger of things. So I would definitely call somebody. But when it comes to like building shelves and building shit, it might take me all fucking day, but I'm doing shit. Don't help. Like, don't come over here. Like, hand me F and so I can put it with G and sit the fuck OD. Down.
Or get it the might fuck take out me a minute, way. But I can do it. Like, but at the same time, how, like, it's not 1945, bro.
You know how embarrassing it would be if she told me to, like, no, I got it, and like moved me out the way.
that's like open. You giving all these opportunities as soon as you let her open doors for you. Everything is A-OK.
Son, Shorty moved into our apartment. When she moved into our new apartment, son, I'm in here fucking building the shit, right? I'm in there building shit. I build like two things. I'm like, yeah, I got the shit. And it's this big-ass fucking drawer. And I'm like, shit. And you know, as black men, we don't read the instructions. We don't care. Like, niggas don't read instructions. We will YouTube.
Why?
Because for what? That's anti-black. Reading instructions is anti-black. It's in the Bible. Look it up.
Read instructions.
So look, but you light skin. So I know you got a little bit of white in you. So at the end of the day,
you light skin. Don't let this light fool you.
So at the end of the day, so I build this shit, right?
I'm gonna get a tan tonight. Actually, fuck that. I'm going outside.
Mind you, I took a break at 8 p.m. All I did was probably a base. There's like 17 more parts. Nigga, all she said was,
"I don't worry about it. Maybe I'll just call my dad. He's about to be coming up."
Nigga, I stayed up until like 3 in the morning putting shit together.
Father, I'd have been like, "Fuck it, we should have started this shit."
Why don't you call them home?
Fuck it, I'm out.
So okay, so Shay, what are? I know this is a loaded question, so let me preference it properly. What are some of the more dangerous double standards? What are some of the more dangerous double standards?
Yeah, Shay.
That I choose to follow, or
that you don't
just
like?
That you know what? Yes, that you choose to follow. Yeah.
What I see as dangerous isn't what you guys are going to see as dangerous, but I think it's, for me personally, in the way that I'm hardwired, I find it very dangerous to assume or rely on the men around me to protect me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not with me personally, because I have a pretty good gauge of it, but like my homegirl who y'all saw in the background, like, there's been multiple situations, like bad situations she's gotten into with her alleged homeboys around, and they did nothing to protect her, nothing to shield her, nothing to help her at all in those situations. And I always tell her, your first mistake was believing that these niggas even cared enough to protect you. So I'm hardwired to always, I'm self-reliant to the point where I kind of it's at my own detriment because I don't know how to rely on anyone besides myself. And I don't know how to let people help me, but it's because I've never been in a situation where I've had my own back and it didn't turn out okay. But in situations where I was relying on somebody else to maybe protect me or shield me or whatever the case may be, it always turned left because they don't do what I thought that they were going to do for me.
Ryan, what are double standards that you, what are dangerous double standards, gender roles, should I say, that for men? Like, what are some double standards or gender roles that you choose to follow that you see typically put men sometimes in harm's way or to a detriment?
Damn.
Yeah, that's a hard twist on a question.
That's super hard because I'm the type of nigga to just stay away from the bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
But there's the reason that question is so prevalent is because gender roles, like Chase said in the beginning, these are social constructs. These are things that we don, right? These are things we wear, whether we like it or not. These are certain things that we wear. And like
I kind of got one. And tell me if I could be wrong. I could be like, if a woman, not necessarily even saying if it's your girl, just a woman that you're with, like friend, whatever it is, and she has a mouth. And she goes off on somebody who maybe it didn't need to go that far, but she took it to levels of, you know, to suck my dicks. You need to do this. When let's say the person, I'll tell a little story. I was with a girl. We was at a bar. A nigga threw a napkin. Like, he was at the bar. He didn't do it on purpose. He just threw the napkin. Being drunk, he threw the napkin over his head, like in a bar. Shit flew over his shoulder and landed in his shorty drink that I was with.
Right. Yeah.
But he didn't notice it. So I tapped him. I'm like, so she's, yo, how can, so I tap him like, yo, boy, you threw the napkin and landed in his shorty and I'm with drink. She's a little upset, but can you just, oh, my fault. I mean, my bad, man. You know, I was like, nah, you good? I was like, look, could you just buy another drink? Everything good. She just keeps going up. Nah, you better buy me a fucking, and I'm just like, you don't need to do this. Let the man take care of it in that sense. But she's going off to the point where this nigga ain't by himself. I'm by myself. Now there's six niggas pop up out of nowhere. Like, yo, what's the issue? What's going on? So I, of course, get the situation right. I talk to homie. But in that situation, I hate the fact that when a man has control over it, or in a sense where you don't need to take it that far, but it's automatically expected for me to hop in and save the day. Now I'm jumped and beat up on the floor because you couldn't just let me handle the situation or not take it that far. I think that that standard is like, whatever I say, this nigga's going to have my back regardless, even if I'm wrong. But I'm not putting my life on the line. I'm putting your life on the line, especially for a black male. Now, if it's a right... If it's a right situation for me to hop in, I'm going to defend you at all costs. But if I'm like, if you tell somebody like, yo, I got this, like, let me handle this. We know it was wrong, but let me fix it up. Homie's apologizing and everything. It's not like he's like, fuck out of here. He's like, yo, I'm so sorry. Let me buy you another drink. Like, I did not mean for that to happen. I apologize. And the other person's like, no, fuck out of here. You better do that. That's the fuck you better do. It's like.
It's unnecessary.
For what? Now, if you get hit, Mouse, now what?
So that's tough, right? Because I've been in scenarios where I've never been in a scenario where a woman put me in that space like that, where, you know, she's agitating the situation. So I can't speak to that. I've never been in a situation like that. But I have been in scenarios where something like you mentioned happened where, you know, it was just an accident, but it impeded on somebody else. A drunk nigga knocked my homegirl's drink over. And it's my homegirl, never did nothing with enough, knocked her drink over, but wasn't cognizant that he knocked the drink over. So he about to keep moving. And so before she could even react, I'm like, yo, my man, you just knocked the drink over. He's like, oh, my bad. And like he had a pause. Oh, you want me to get a drink? I said, yeah. He was like, oh, all right, cool.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
And she was uncomfortable in that scenario, and he kept like apologizing, but he was drunk. So you know how niggas, yo, I'm sorry, man.
Extras.
And it's like now you're impeding her space. And I'm the type of person in that scenario where I try and remove the variable, right? So I'm not even gonna talk to him in front of her. Come over here, let me talk to you, my man.
Facts.
Let me take you over here. Because I want to separate the two.
Absolutely.
Like a scenario like what happened with you, I would like to think because the way I the way I handle things, even in that, like, you know, in that instance where a woman is yelling, doing all that, yo, let me talk to you over here, my man. No, focus on me. Let me talk to you.
In that space, I would do that. But in the space that I was,
it was kind of impossible.
I'm at a bar. I'm like this. Like, it's really, like, I don't know if you've been. There's a bar in LA called Association, like, and it's downstairs.
Is that the one I went to you? Is that the one you took me to when I was out there?
No, not that one. It wasn't that one. It's another one that's not far, but it's like you got to go downstairs. It's really dark. It's really small.
Got you.
And when it's packed, and it's like you at the bar. It's like how we was at 333, but mm-hmm. more packed than that. Think about there was no space to get to, like. It's packed. So if you're at the bar, you're trying to chill at the bar, get your drinks. But once you're at the bar, you can make your little, you know, got your little space. I know how it works in there. I used to live in that building. So I know everything, every corner in there. But in a way, it's no like, yo, if I was to be like, yo, come talk to me, it would have took us 10 minutes to get
just
to the
walk
door.
Through and then by then, it's just, yeah.
So, but I pulled him like, yo, I feel, because I'm the person that always does this. I hate people that just don't say like, excuse me, pardon me. I hate that. So like, when I'm in a spot, even if it's mad packed and I'm walking through,
I'm still saying, excuse me.
Pardon me, boss. Excuse me. Pardon me. I'm coming. Right. Excuse me. Watch out. Excuse me. Pardon me. Like, that's just me. So if somebody ever comes and bumps me and doesn't say that, I grab them like, yo, boy, the word is my. All I say is, yo, the word is excuse me. Oh, my fault. I didn't. Yes, you did. Or you stepped on shorty foot like, yo, boy, you just bumped her. Like, that's just me because I'm that person. So in that situation, you know, I told him like, yo, boy, you threw the shit over your shoulder when that cup. Oh, he was completely. But she's just going so crazy. Which, if it wasn't me, if I was a more aggressive person, or if I was a nigga who followed everything that the person I'm with or my friend just went off of actions, it would have turned into something that it didn't have to be. Because I would have just took her side on that. Nah, she said, get her fucking. Nah, that's not how we gonna do it. We gonna do it. Thank you, appreciate it. Then I'm gonna spin around and talk to you like, yo, you gotta chill. Like, I'm handling the situation. And if you want to be in situations where you handle it, that's where that masculinity shit goes. If you're going to step on my toes and I'll let you hop in that rain of fire, don't come at me crazy if something happens to you. Let me handle this the way I'm going to handle it. And if it goes to another level, then I really take it there. But I don't have to right now. This is just a simple, yo, there's a mistake. You apologize. You accept that you did it. You want to fix the situation, what you were doing without yelling. And now it's just she was the extra part. She was the part that I needed to remove to have that. You know what I'm saying? Rather than removing him from the situation.
What space? It's getting rough.
There we go.
Yep, it's about to go left.
No, not left. Just deeper. Pause. In the atmosphere we're in the social climate we're in, do you ever feel that a woman can threaten a man, like can actually threaten a man, like actually make him feel what people like to say emasculated? Is that a true thing?
In a public or private setting?
Any setting.
Well, yes, absolutely. If she's holding something above your head, where in a situation where there's the obvious reason, if she knows somebody around her will fuck you up, and a nigga comes to the realization that that nigga will fuck me up, there's that whole thing. Then there's the whole, like, let's say, where's that going from there? That's the biggest one. A nigga can really, like, you know she got brothers, or she know she got something, and she can just violate you. Like, yo, like, shut up for my brother, fuck you up again. There's some wild shit where it's like, god damn, like, right now, right here.
But does that does that truly emasculate you? Or do you emasculate you when you allow that to dictate your response?
It's a good question.
Because I just feel like in a lot of these conversations, a lot of times I see, even from women, there's just a lot of blame or onus, I'll say, put on the woman. And I'm like, well, then where does the man be this man that we define? This man that the man is always in control. The man is always calm, collected. But we give so much credence to she made me. She made me. She pushed me too far.
I mean, I think there is a line that women tap dance on as far as like pushing men too far, but I do feel like
what? Like what?
For me personally, and you've seen me tweet it, I've said it to y'all, one thing I will never do is put hands on a man, because once I do that, the chances of him hitting me back is extremely high, and there's nothing I can do about that. I can't fight a man. I know this, I accept this. I don't try. But I know that there are women who let themselves get mad to the point where they will put hands on a man and assume that, oh, but you're a man, so you can't hit me back type shit. Mm-hmm. And you don't know which nigga who is actually willing to hit you back. And I feel like there's too many women who play with that line. I personally don't even flirt with it, but I do.
I'm going to sound like a caping. I want you to stay right there. I want you to rebut this, because I'm going to sound like I'm caping, and it's okay because suck my dick.
That's a line.
This is where the double standard kind of in the gender norm, this is where it kind of like doubles down on itself, right? Because in that same instance, if we're talking, I'm talking about in relations, right? I guess we could talk about out of familiarity. But I'm talking about for this moment in relationships where you're like, a woman puts her hands on a man. I do think it's fair to ask, what did he do to make her put his, to make her respond in that instance, right?
Okay.
Because if we always say that women are the emotional creature, if that's what we're saying, then we have to account for what we're doing to enact and play with these emotions to make her get to that point. Because you got to be expecting that if you're saying a woman's the emotional creature, right?
Correct.
So what are you doing? Because if that's the case, we have to be honest about these double standards. If you're playing with a woman's emotions, if you're playing with a woman's mental mind frame, what you expect going to happen?
Agreed.
We're playing on two different fields, and that ain't fair. So I don't think it's fair. Once again, I know I sound like I'm caping. Cool, whatever. I already said I like being hit on, just not in the face. But I already know, if we already know that women are the more emotional creatures, then why are we going to play with them like that? and then get mad and be pussy when she pop on us and you like, now because you want to hit her back. Now you want to hit her back because she popped on you, but you kept playing in her face. So please, repeat that, Chay. Like, make that make sense for me if you can. From the woman's point of view.
It's like, what would push me to that point?
No, like, does that make sense what I'm saying?
No, it absolutely makes sense. It's literally the root of the double standard because, I mean, again, speaking from my own experiences, I do my best to never let somebody get to that point because if I'm ever mad to that point, there is no stopping me. I've already accepted my future consequences. So whatever I'm doing from that point forward, I'm doing it maliciously. I'm doing it because...
Now stop right there. Ryan, you hear that. And as a man, with morals, with cool, a stand-up nigga, what do you hear?
You're trying to push me. Like, if you know what you're doing, you know you're trying to push some buttons, and you just keep... It's like you wait for something to happen, but
let it get to that point.
But as a man, you don't take no accountability for playing, getting her to that point.
I mean, if I get it to that point, I know what I'm doing. Like, I'm pushing buttons, and I don't like to push buttons. So for me, it's like, if I know this is going to get you tight, I'll do things that will get you tight. But if I know that's going to set you off, like, I try to stay away from shit like that because I'm not that nigga to fight you. And you might have dealt with a nigga like that hit you, and you might have some trauma that I don't really want to. I mean, we could talk about it, but I don't want to ever trigger that shit off again. But I don't want people to hear this and think like there's gonna be some niggas that hear this and be like, yeah, but, and they're gonna reverse it and be like, but if a chick know my buttons to push it, she keep going and keep going. Like, I'm gonna want to hit. Like, I don't want niggas to think that way. And there's some niggas that think that way. So it's like, I hear what you're saying, Miles, but I don't want niggas to think like, well, then that's like a gender role reversal too. Like, how come she could talk to me and tell me suck, do this and do that, and I can't?
Well,
like,
well, that's what I'm telling these niggas. I'm like, because y'all playing on different levels. Yeah, we're playing on different fields. The playing field isn't equal.
It's not.
It's not.
We don't walk around in fear that something we do or say may set this woman off the pop on us. Women, just by being women in America, even if subconscious, has to think like that. Am I wrong, Chay? Tell me if I'm
no. That literally ties back to what I said before, which is I have trained myself to not rely on the men around me to protect me because at any given point, I don't know if you might snap and you might be the person causing me harm. So I can't put that blind faith in you.
I got a similar question that kind of goes along with what you just said. Do you put more faith in the niggas you have sex with rather than the niggas that you don't have sex with?
I have more faith in the niggas who I don't have sex with.
Okay.
My core, including you guys, my core homeboys who I've surrounded myself with are some of the most stand-up dudes I've ever come across. I'm talking my last 6 months of me being here in LA, I've been staying with two different homeboys, basically. Both of them have opened up their homes to me, their families, like, you good? What do you need? Do you need to borrow my car to go here? Do you need to go look at this apartment? Like, stand-up dudes. I've had, when I first moved to New York, there was another situation where I needed to crash somewhere for like 2 months while I like looked for another place. I shit you not, I had never met this person in person. We had maybe DM talking about like graphic design shit and like little nerd shit, but he was literally like, I'm in a position where you could stay with me, you don't have to pay a dime. And I wouldn't be able to sleep at night knowing I could have helped you, and I didn't. He let me stay with him for free. Like, and I've always had the luxury and the luck to come across more of those type of men than the men that we see on social media. We hear about beating on women. Like, I've never dealt with friendship, homeboy, whatever, even guys I've dated. I've never even had a nigga buck at me in an argument. I've never had the fear of someone almost putting hands on me, but that's either just blind luck on my half, or I'm just intuitive about the types of people who I surround myself with. And that's just a privilege that I've enjoyed, I guess, the last 28 years.
not, and that's why I asked that question, because I feel like most people get caught up in those extra pushing that button on somebody, mm-hmm. whether it be male or female, once that sexual line has been crossed.
Absolutely.
And it's
absolutely.
Like everybody's a little closer. They know the things. They know stuff about you that most of the world doesn't. So they can mm-hmm. say something very slick and it flipped the whole shit up just based mm-hmm. off your relationship. So that's why I was asking, who do you put more like trust in, the people you and but I know there's some women that be like, yeah, I put more trust in a nigga that I'm fucking. Like he knows mm-hmm. everything about me. And it's there's a side to everything. Everybody's gonna have their defense and why yep. they choose. But I think most situations that go physical are definitely involved with sex.
Mm-hmm. Because then a lot of people still view sex in general as a possessive transaction.
Absolutely. They feel like, which is horrible that people think this way, but they think you owe them something now. Like, uh-huh. yeah, we had sex, you owe me this and you owe me that. You owe me time, you owe me that. It's like, nah, that's not what it is. And if you talked about that prior mm-hmm. or at like whatever it is, if it was a conversation, cool, I get it. But once you put that on someone, then it becomes more, what's the word I'm looking for? It becomes more realistic for somebody to know mm-hmm. what sets you off. Like we've
it's the act of having sex for some men, small niche of men, not going to say all men, the act of having sex, it triggers this level of possession in them where it's like, you can't even, same homegirl. Her ex hated me because I wasn't a dumb bitch and I wasn't easily manipulated. And he didn't like that. I would take her out places. We would go have fun. And I was the whole friend. So he did everything in his power to separate.
In defense,
No, because she's worse than me.
Oh. Mm.
So yeah, he knew who she was as a person, started dating her, and then suddenly she can't wear certain things. She had to delete every male number out of her phone. She couldn't even, anytime we hung out together, he broke up with her. That's how much he hated me.
Meanwhile, she's throwing that ass in a circle.
Exactly. So it's like, it unlocks this level of possession where it's like, all right, you, the pussy, the body, it's all mine. You can't let nobody look at it. You can't let nobody touch it. You can't go have fun. You can't even be your own person anymore. That's what I mean by like, it unlocks a level of possession in some people that I'm not willing to fuck with.
Let me ask this to kind of bring us home. Let me ask you, Chad, the woman. The trend that we see now where women are owning their sexual agency, maybe even tying it to gifts and dollar amounts,
mm-hmm.
is that a direct result of the double standards and patriarchy that we've been seeing since we've been alive? Or is it in retaliation?
Oh, and it can't be both.
I mean, sure.
I think it's both because we talked about this in the group chat and we never made an episode of it. But do you remember when we were talking about? You saw the couple sitting on the bus stop, madly in love. Do you remember this conversation?
Me?
Oh, and you were like, yes. Yeah, and you said you missed that type of love.
Yeah, conflict resolution. I think love is always better when you broke. You just got more conflict resolution.
My problem with that line of thinking is, I'll say most men in this case, because I really do believe this, most men are incapable of nurturing or wanting a healthy relationship while they're broke because they're so concerned about their finances. So they're like, oh, I'll worry about getting a girl when I have my money right, But when you do get to that next level, you're no longer checking for the type of woman who didn't care about the money that you had. You now want to step up and get the women where that's all they want. And now you're showering her with gifts, but then you get mad when she expects for you to keep up that energy. And you've now monetized the love. So you can't be mad type of woman.
I don't know if you even just peeped what you just did. Ryan, did you peep that?
She's kind of bringing it around.
She basically showed that the issue begins with the man's avoidance of conflict resolution. You can't resolve the conflict when you're broke. Then you get money, and then you can afford to actually avoid the conflict by paying it off. So at no point as a man do you come to a sense and say,
accepting shit.
Oh man, I gotta resolve this shit.
You're not accepting.
And that's why I said broke love is the what Jay said. He said, we were so happy poor, but when we got rich, that's when our signals got crossed and we got flipped. Remember, like that couple sitting on a bus, that couple sitting at a bus stop. They'll know that there's a certain level of love and admiration and bliss that they'll know that, you know, that if that man is doing it properly, that most men with money will never know, because
instead of resolving the issue, they think that they can buy the happiness.
Exactly. And that's just, you're getting a different level of devotion from a woman who can trust you to resolve the conflict.
But
am I wrong? Okay.
No, absolutely. It's never for me, again, me personally. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care. I can't be bought. I've told you how many different bags I've fumbled with men that have money. It's not about the money to me. I'm more concerned about how you treat me and how you treat our relationship or our partnership. Because what I will never do is enter a relationship where I'm looked at as an accessory instead of an equal. I add to your life. But I'm not going to be no pretty ass purse sitting on your goddamn shelf.
But do you want to be an equal or do you want to be respected? Ooh,
I want to be an equal though. I want to be an equal.
You want to be an equal.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're
because
an equal,
I don't
but if you're an equal, don't you have to shed double standards?
I can shed some of them. So I'm not taking out the trash.
I think we leave. I think we have a special guest. I think we have a special guest in the den.
But first, can we start off with I kind of want to do something different. I know we do the Get the Jaws playlist, right? And as we're funneling through different programs and different people who love our playlist and who you'll hear about soon, I kind of want to flip it and do instead of Get the Jaws, I want to, since we about to come outside is really about to open up. If you've been in your house or if you've been in Atlanta or Texas or come to a few places that have been able to turn up, what is the song? What's the joint that you can't wait to hear
outside?
Ring off in the outside.
So what do you say outside? I'll start with you, Shay.
Oh, shit. Wait, why would you do that?
I want to start with you. What the hell?
Because you're our equal.
I see what you did there. I see what you fucking did there. But I've been out of tune with music, but let me go through my title.
You don't know what song you like. You don't know what song you like to hear. Like, you don't listen
to music.
Not
that I've been put on the spot. I do listen to music, but I just can't. You just wiped my memory bank just now. God damn it.
Like, really? Like, you've been talking about Hot Girl Summer for 2 years, and you don't know one song?
Oh, can you think of one? I gotta find the name, though. It's by Flo Milli. Her new joint, the Roaring Twenties joint.
That's the name of it.
It is? Okay, yeah, that one. I actually do really love that track.
Wow, who
I just haven't listened.
Flo Milli.
Flo Milli.
All right.
Flo Milli shit.
Flo Milli shit.
How?
Cool. I know a song I want to hear. I'm going with...
Watch it be a record he's getting paid for.
No. Definitely not, because I laugh at this person just as much as I praise them.
Come on, Viola.
Coi Leray. No more parties. That's my shit. Yo,
listen,
that is my shit.
Listen, I'm going to tell you right now. I have not heard this record outside the few times I've been outside. I cannot wait to be in this spot, cup full of ginger ale.
Yeah.
My heart is breaking. That track star record, I'm going to lose it. I'll be like Stone Cold with the ginger ale. Yeah.
But I think that guy should be your trap karaoke entrance. Like, that's how you enter.
It's a trap star.
Boom. I told niggas on Instagram, I said, I'm not a runner, I'm a trap star.
I said, ooh, 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 ooh.
Ooh, ooh. My heart, whoa.
But exactly. My heart is breaking.
Speaking of that, shout out to our homegirl. Shout out to our homegirl, friend of the show, homegirl Britt. She hit us up. She said, hey, I want the guy next door to interview Mooski, who sings Track Star. Now, typically, when people ask us to interview artists, we don't want to do it if they're not our friends.
First of all, our things aren't even interviews. They're just conversations. But
yeah, we don't enjoy it. But, you know, I'm a huge fan of Mooski. We all love the record Track Star. So we jumped at the bit on Ryan and the gang. They were everybody's still there. And he happened to be in New York. So I pulled up to him at what studio was it?
Some studio. They don't pay us, so it don't matter.
Yeah, they don't pay us. Cool. Pulled up to the studio, got a chance to sit with Mooski and talk to him about the record and some toxicity, some track star tings. So guys, on our way out,
I don't know if we're gonna give you the whole thing. I don't know if I'm gonna give you the whole.
You want to give him a tip?
I might give him. Come on, chill out. I might give him some.
I ain't gonna hold you, Ryan. It ain't that much. Hey, I gave him what I got.
Whoa.
Small boy.
Oh, yeah. We're gonna introduce some of this to y'all, depending on how we feel. Wow. Depending on how we feel, but we appreciate y'all, of course. So, of course, we wanted y'all to hear us before the streets officially opened up. This will be one of the biggest records that you hear in the club. You haven't been in Atlanta, if you haven't been in Houston, if you haven't been in LA as of now. I know you don't understand, but when that record gets played,
your heart is breaking.
Your heart is breaking.
So yeah, to
the remix.
Listen, I told him, guys, next time we get on the remix, we're gonna see what's up. But shout out to Britt, shout out to Mooski. Hey y'all keep listening, and y'all will hear me and the guy next door with Mooski. See y'all next week.
Peace.
You already know it is Mouse Jones, 1/3 of the Guys Next Door podcast. Shout out to my man Max. Shout out to Ryan. I right now am in New York in the studio, live studio. Is it live? I don't know. Technically, it's not live because we're recording.
Yeah.
But it don't even matter. It's the Guys Next Door. It's Mooski.
Yes, sir.
You know what I mean? Hit maker Mooski. Track star. What's good, my boy?
Hey, what's good with it, bro?
Now, listen, I thought you was from Florida.
Yeah.
I was wrong.
Word.
Because I've been telling niggas that, they be like, where you from? I'm like, Florida. Like, I knew.
Word.
But I didn't know. Where you from?
I'm from Alabama, man. Small city called Up.
Like Up? Like O-P-P. The Up?
Yes, sir.
You from a city called Up?
Real.
So are y'all the Op or everybody else the Op? How that work?
I mean,
they don't play with y'all like that?
You know it. I mean,
Nah, see, look, when niggas start thinking they about to do something, don't say it. Don't even say it. It's none of my business.
I mean, we just popping, man. We just, you know what I'm saying? We just working.
I like that. So, the record Track Star, you recorded it, put it out, the shit takes off.
Word.
I always want to ask artists, where were you the moment you realized this shit is taking off?
I was in Miami.
That's why I thought you was from Florida.
I was in Miami because when I first dropped the song, my management now, right, Ace, he hit me up.
Ace with the green hoodie?
No, that's Clean. That's Clean.
Shout out to Clean with the green hoodie.
Yeah, shout out to Clean and AI. But yeah, AI hit me up. He DM'd me. You know what I'm saying? And it's back when my song had, like, my first, when I dropped the song, bro, like, it started going crazy, bro, the rip. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I think I had like 100,000 or something. I think I had 80,000 when I went to Miami, bro.
Right,
80,000 streams. And we were working on it then, and they were telling me, like, hey, man, we're gonna get you some shows. Like, bro, you gonna quit your job, all this. So I was working at Lockheed Martin.
What's that?
I was on a, it's like, they build missiles and stuff.
Oh, you was working for the stocks.
Yeah.
You were working stock industries.
But I was security, though.
Okay.
I was on a rapid response team.
Got you.
Doing, like, tactical security, stuff like that. But...
So if Sean jump off right now, you gonna hit the tuck and roll on some 007 shit?
Oh, yeah.
So you in Miami, you realize shit taking off.
Yeah.
Where, like, what is your view when you seeing people singing shit? Like,
cause, right, like,
cause I, people are people putting your face to the song yet?
Yeah. Like now, see, then like they just knew the song. You know what I'm saying? But like now we've been working on, you know what I'm saying, like showing my face and putting my face out there more, just
you got the show vlogs, bro, and that. Yeah.
So yeah, like but hearing people saying the song, man, it's just amazing, bro. Cause like when I first went to Miami, bro, we was going to like Broadway, you know, like take one.
In the hood.
And Brady was going crazy, bro. Like that's when I knew it was taking off right then, cause like I'm hitting for what I'm hitting for on my first show.
Right.
You get what I'm saying?
No, like, that's a fact.
Out the gate. So it was like, bro, this is really about to take off, bro.
So you was always into music? Was this your first?
Yeah, for sure. Always into music, bro. Always been a music lover, bro. Always been a creator of music.
Mm-hmm.
I was like 13 and I was making music on this app called The Booth. You know what I'm saying?
I remember that.
Yeah, I used to make music on that app. I started then and, you know, I went to my first official, like, professional studio in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
I was still in the Marine Corps at the time.
Okay.
But I was still recording, you know what I'm saying? So once I touched that professional studio, bro, and I got that good quality, I was like, oh, yeah, bro, like, you know, like, I'm in the right spot. Like,
okay.
I got to keep doing it. Like, I just, bro was charging $50 an hour, you know what I'm saying? And, bro, I was making sacrifices to get in the studio, bro.
What was one of those things you was going without? Like, there's always, you hear these stories of artists who really ain't have nothing and they really picking the music over the streets and they picking the music over everything else. What was something you was going without to get in the studio?
At one point, my whip, bro.
You gave up the whip?
Yeah.
So was you getting it?
My partner would take me and stuff and I'd get like an Uber or something. But I just had a whole bunch of stuff going on with my whip, bro. But I stopped. Like, so, you know, in the military, you got a chow hog.
Yeah.
So, bro, I stopped. At one point, bro, I had to stop eating out. Like, I couldn't buy no food. I went to chow hog every day, bro.
What base you was on?
Camp Lejeune.
Okay,
in North Carolina.
Yeah,
I was going.
I know that food bad.
Bro, I ain't going to hold you. Like, it was trash, bro.
Remember Mambo Pork Mondays or whatever they used to do? That nasty ass.
Hey, I ain't going to lie though, bro. They had some brisket in that though, bro.
I used to eat meat back then. Nah, the brisket with the mashed potatoes used to hit.
Yeah.
But everything else, I feel like I can't believe I'm eating this shit.
Word. Yeah, bro, because then, like, bro, like, you just start eating the same thing every day for real.
Right, that's
you know
a
what
fact.
I'm saying? But yeah, so I was giving up, like, stuff like that, partying, bro. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes I couldn't even go hit the club and stuff like I want to, bro.
Mm.
And that's one thing about me, bro, every weekend, I'm out there.
Need your liberty.
I'm out there. Yeah. I'm out there, bro. Charlotte, Wilmington, Raleigh.
Right.
Like,
running
I'm
it
out
up.
There, bro. I'm out there.
So but, you still enlisted right now?
No. Okay. I got out September 9th of 2019.
Okay. So now you see any of your any of your counterparts that was in the Marines and they fucking with your record or
bro. Because they used to listen to my music when I was in the Marine Corps.
Right.
But bro, like so many people. Like, it hit different. My Marines came, like, my Marines hitting me up.
Right.
Like, on some stuff, like Sergeant, you know, like, it's dope seeing you get out and do what you said you was going to do. That's you know what right. I'm saying? Like, it's like, that's you right. came in the Marine Corps and you did great here. We knew you was going to do good and you said you was going to get out and do music and you did it.
That's
you know,
right.
it's like, you gave us motivation to chase our dream. Like, and that's all I want. That's all I want. You know what
that's
I'm saying?
Right.
Like, when I say I want to inspire people in the world, that's what I want to hear. I want people to say, you inspired me to chase my dream instead of saying, hey, you inspired me to do music. You get what I'm saying?
So now, off of that alone, you know we got to go. This is the Guys Next Door podcast. Bird. We got to talk about what we talk about here.
Bird.
Mind your business, Brittany. Thank you very much. The song Track Star.
Bird.
She going to run away. She going to hurt everybody.
Yeah.
Get involved. You said that.
Yeah.
Who is this song about? Who hurt you?
You know what I'm saying, man? You know?
Don't say her name.
It's a lot of track stars out there, but you know, everybody dealt with a track star before. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's just, hey, her name Track Star.
But, so, with the track star, do you know she's a track star? And this is just in general. Do you, for the guys listening, ladies too, if you're into track stars, do you know a track star is a track star before you get with her? Or do you find out after the fact?
I don't know. I guess everybody's experience is gonna be different. You feel what I'm saying? It just, you know, it depends. It depends on you, for real. It depends on how much you pushing off the rip.
Mm.
You get what I'm saying?
So there'll be like a red flag.
Yeah.
Cause I fuck with red flags heavy.
I ain't gonna lie to you. Nah, never mind.
Go ahead. No, we here.
Nah, we cool on it. We cool on it.
Here, it's me and you.
Hey, we smooth though.
Listen,
you know, like everybody see something, bro. All I was trying and track star, bro. I wanted to show the vulnerability in that song, bro.
You did.
Because at some point, bro, you got a shorty you rocking with, bro, mm-hmm. and you not worried about nothing else, bro. But her is getting her. You right. know what I'm saying? Like, it's something about, like, I don't know. I don't even know what I'm trying to say. But at some point in life. Everybody ignore the red flag, bro, because they really wanted somebody. You get what I'm saying?
Bingo.
So it's like, that's really what I wanted to express in Trackstar. That's how I know it was going to be relatable by anybody. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? Like, anybody can relate to it if I just kept it real. You get what I'm saying? Like, all the way.
Because, now me, I be fucking with the red flag like it's a motherfucking... Like it's the Six Flag, you know. I be fucking with that shit. I be on the ride like this, hands up. Let's get to it. The toxicity bring it here.
Yes, sir.
You feel what I'm saying? Yeah. So, just based off the song, what's the most toxic thing a girl ever had you do? What's the most toxic thing a track star ever had you do? Like, what's the thing you was like? I can't believe I'm doing this shit right now.
I don't know. Bro.
Like I done pulled up the jobs, pulled up the mama's houses.
I don't know, like what? Nah, dang, I don't even want to say, bro.
Oh, my goodness.
We here, man.
It's the fellas. Rock, paper, scissors.
Rock, paper, scissors. Okay, I'll
smooth on you. He moved it so quick, I thought I won.
Yeah, though. I mean, I don't know, man. The most toxic thing I've ever done, bro. I don't know, man.
What's the toxic thing a track star ever did to you? Because I know she had a hitch. Because the way you said, my heart is breaking. The way you said that, I know you experienced some hurt.
I don't know, bro. It's a lot of stuff. Like, I don't know, toxic on heartbreak for real. Like, I don't know.
He's good. Y'all taught him well. He's a track star. Okay? You taught him well. All right, hey, you know. So let me ask you this. Because whenever an artist gets a big record, like a super big record, one or two, me personally, I feel like one or two things could happen. Or three. The obviously the best one is they go make another one, right. another one. Then the other two, I usually get worried when I like the record. It's, one, do you feel like you have to stay in this pocket of heartbreak? Do you gotta be the heartbroken young nigga all the time? Or are you forever, or there's the other one where you... It's forever chasing that record where you can't even really get into your other bag to experience what I think because you was chasing that record.
Right.
You feel like you in between one of those spots right now?
Man, I feel like I'm on the third one. I already made another one.
Oh,
made
shit.
multiple.
Oh,
now I'm just ready to drop them. I'm never gonna be in a spot where I'm chasing the record.
Mm-hmm.
And two, for the second one, you know, I don't want to be put in that heartbreak block. Bro.
Right, right.
You get what I'm saying, right. Bro? Like, I ain't. Nah, bro. I really don't. I wanna make. Everything, bro. You get what I'm saying? I want to make them, okay, boom, you got a heartbreak right here. Now, let's move on from that. Let's talk about life now. Boom, I'm happy. You get what I'm saying? Let's talk about going, let's talk about partying. Let's talk about everything, bro. You get what I'm saying? Like, every emotion. I want to make the music for everything. Like you know that. What I'm saying? Like, I really want to take over and be the biggest artist, bro. Yeah. Like, that's just it. So, I want to make everything, bro. I don't want to be put in a box. Because then you can only be the best at that.
Mm.
You get what I want to be the best at everything.
What's that thought process when you're going in the studio, right? Like, you got a record that's huge on TikTok or whatever. So, are you like, I don't know if it's consciously or subconscious thing, like, you in the booth, you like, this one could get off on TikTok. Or are you just making your record?
Nah, bro, like, when I'm in there, bro, I'm just, I go in there and I find the beat, whatever emotion, whatever I feel off that beat, that's what I'm laying down. I ain't thinking about nothing else. I'm thinking about, okay, what's the concept? Now, how can I take this concept far? How can I take, like, what can I do with this concept?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, where can I pull from in my life to make this concept come to life and be true?
I like that. But listen, we got track stars listening. Because I know our audience, they toxic. So there's some track stars out there.
Yeah.
What advice do you have for some track stars that are about to take off on a nigga? Or you could give some advice to a nigga who about to get taken off on.
I mean, on both sides, I guess this can go for, man. I mean, just know your worth and understand who you are and what you bring to the table. I mean, and if if you with somebody who can't give you that, then, I mean, just, you know what I'm saying? Let her leave or you leave. You feel me?
This nigga Martin Luther King. Yeah. This nigga, you sneaky. This nigga got the deep quotes in him. This nigga sneaky. Now, before you get out of here, I got to ask you. When you hit that note, my heart is breaking. You was in the church before?
Yeah, yeah.
I knew it. I know a church run when I hear one. I know it. Let the people know where they can follow you at. Let them know where they can listen to the record. That hit a new record. Let them know all that.
Hey, you know what I'm saying? Trackstar out on all platforms. You can follow me on Instagram at Mooski Before Eyes. You can follow me on Twitter at Mooski Official. TikTok, I think it's Mooski. Snapchat is Mooski OIOHAH. Add a little ad lib in there. And Facebook, Mooski main page, man. Y'all go there. They'll catch every vibe, you know what I'm saying? With everything we got going on and new music about to drop.
And listen, I'm Mouse Jones. Shout out to Mac Wild. Shout out to Fly Rye. Shout out to Britt for whatever reason. But this is the Guys Next Door podcast. Shout out to Mooski.
And we are Guys Next Door.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.